Journey through this 40 days, and we try to do good things or try to give up something we ought to. Whatever we choose to do, Lord God, we ask that you'll be with us by your Holy Spirit, and that when we come out of this 40 days, we will be refreshed and revived because we have taken the time to pray and to read and to reflect on your word and to be drawn closer to you. You promise never to leave us nor forsake us. So walk with us, Lord Jesus. We ask, walk by your Holy Spirit, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Now here we are in Lent, and we know that it is on day number 3 or day number 4, started March 1, and some of us have given up stuff, and some of us probably have broken what we have given up already, or maybe not. It's a good thing we are seeking and trying, but even if we did, just remember that we could keep going, right? God is a forgiving God. So if you're going to give up like a piece of cake and we had to try a little piece, you just don't try the other piece tomorrow or today. We just keep going, right? We've got to be persistent. Because my sermon title today says, what? Temptation can be persistent. So we have to be persistent, don't we, church? Right? Yes, we have to be. As I start my moment of reflection here, I was telling the church earlier today that yesterday, talking about yield not to temptation, because yielding is sin. You know that little song, do you? That song is not in our hymnal. But I told the earlier church that I grew up with this little song that is called, I think it must be in the Lutheran or the Baptist. I'm going to find out where it is. It's called Yield Not to Temptation, for yielding is sin. Every victory will help you some other to win, right? Some people know fight manually onward, dog passion subdue. Look over to Jesus, he'll carry you through. Right? It must be a song that we used to sing in a Church of England in Jamaica, because she knows it. And it says, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he'll carry you through. That's how it goes. And the little refrain says, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you. Right? And so that's a little tune, a little bit off tune with me here, but the beat is, he will carry you through. And then it says, shun evil compassions, bad language disdain, God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind, ordered, and true. Look over to Jesus, he'll carry you through. And so, yesterday, our beloved Ellen had put out some food downstairs, for we had a workshop. And she, did she think it was Lent? So she had all cookies and cakes and, temptation. Right? She says she's Presbyterian. The Presbyterian don't do it. And it's not true. I was reading up. The Calvinists don't do it. She's telling me. I came out of the Presbyterian. I says, so what does that mean? You came out of the Presbyterian. Is Lent just for the Methodist and the Roman Catholic? So, I ran down to the meeting. Even one of the Methodist pastor, Tom Benker, said to her, don't you know this is Lent? I mean, we're all like, she had those little cookies and little, things. She had a little dish with fruit. So I'd come down to see the little program, to say hi to the colleagues. It's a disaster preparedness response thing that we've been doing. And so now we're going to clean up. I came back. I'm going to help her clean up. I had a little baptism meeting, and then I came back. And I was good. I had a cup of tea, and I had some oatmeal. And then I had a couple of the tangerines. She called them something else, but they're tangerines. So I thought, I'm just going to be good. So I come to help her clean up the table, and here's all the little banana bread and whatever is sliced. And I'm standing there and I says, oh God, help me. I just started. I cannot. I gave up these things. So as I'm taking the plate, the crumbs are in the plate. And I says, maybe I'll just try the crumbs only. I said, because temptation is persistent. I'm looking at the crumbs. I'm literally looking. I never knew I could desire crumbs so much. May God help me. Just crumbs. You know, I looked at it and I was just looking and I couldn't, and my hand was just trembling just to get a little piece of carbohydrate crumbs bread. This is temptation, you see. Yield not to temptation. Difficult. I think I did win out, but downstairs now. Yes. That distracted me and I put the dish and I threw it away. And when I threw the crumbs away, I said, oh, thank God. One day passed. You know, because now more temptation is downstairs now. Because you're cooking, right? So it's constant, right? I read this little reflection by William Willimon. He's one of the bishops of the Methodist churches, and he wrote in his book, What's Right with the Church, and he tells about a Sunday school class that was studying the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And after careful study and explanation of each of the three temptations, Dr. Willimon asked, how are we tempted today? A young salesman was the first to speak. He says, temptation is when your boss calls you in, as mine did yesterday, and says, I'm going to give you a real opportunity. I'm going to give you a bigger sales territory. We believe that you're going places, young man. But I don't want a bigger sales territory, the young man says, told his boss. I'm already away from home four nights a week. It wouldn't be fair to my wife and daughter. Look, his boss replied, we're asking you to do this for your wife and daughter. Don't you want to be a good father? It takes money to support a family these days. Sure, your little girl doesn't take much money now, but think of the future. Think of her future. I'm only asking you to do this for them, the boss says. The young man told the class, now, that's temptation. Temptation doesn't stop. So here's this young man trying to be a good husband and father, trying not to look for too much in the world, and his boss just keeps at him. No, your daughter's going to need money later on. Your daughter's going to need it when she goes to college. Temptation is persistent. One writer says, when the devil is dangerous. He says, the devil is like a mad dog that is chained up. He's powerless to harm us when we are outside his reach. But once we enter his circle, we expose ourselves again to injury and harm. Think of the devil like that. The devil is like chained up. God has chained up the devil, defeated him through Jesus Christ. But he's just waiting. And trust me, church, once we step into it, we always think we could do something and we're going to stop. It's like eating the crumb. I would have probably eaten two slices of the cake, right? Because you know once you get that taste of it in your mouth, you need a little bit more. Have you ever been there? It's just me trying to live through Lent and being a good Christian, and all of you are holy and holier than holy, right? If God could speak, he'd be telling us now. He can speak if he so choose, right? And so one of the reflections says, sin looks pleasant at first. We are too apt to forget that temptation to sin will really present itself to us in its true colors, saying, I am your deadly enemy, and I want to ruin you forever in hell. Oh no, sin comes to us like Judas with a kiss. Like Joab with an outstretched hand and flattering words. We've been there, haven't we? The forbidden fruit seemed good and desirable to Eve, yet it cast her out of Eden. Walking idly on in his palace roof seemed harmless enough to David, yet it ended up in adultery and murder. Sin really seems like sin at first beginnings. So we have to watch and pray. Sin comes wonderful, I told in a little confession. You know, we're not Roman Catholic, but I will give my little confession to you all here, because you're not going to confess out loud, but I will. When I was like 17 and back home in the Caribbean, about 16, 17, and my father was very strict. Not that he was that holy, going to church all the time. He was just strict. My mother was holy going to church. My father just went to church for the high holy days, you know. But my mother was the other time. So he would warn me about boyfriends. Don't have a boyfriend. You can't do anything. You got to be good. And yes, I tried hard, and I was good. Not going to tell you the rest of that story, but I was good. But anyhow, I was good as I could be. But I had this this guy who liked me, was my age, and he wanted to take me out and wanted to kiss him. And I could hear my father saying, you better not. My father wasn't there. So I said to my little boyfriend, I says, I can't because my father will know. And he says, oh, is he going to know? Who's going to tell him? All right? And who's going to tell him? And I'm like, but he's going to see because you don't know my father. He's got eyes everywhere. Right? Watching. He's like God watching. So temptation is persistent in that way because it comes to us. Temptation, as definition, is a desire to engage in short-term urges for enjoyment that threatens long-term goals. Right? Temptation comes for a moment. You know we have all been tempted. You know, it describes this kind of coaxing and inducing that one person can do to another person. And persistent is the quality that allows someone to continue doing something or trying to do something even though it is difficult or opposed by the other person. You know that folks can be persistent, right? And why is it that we are not persistent to do good? How come some folks don't always say to you, oh, that's good, let's go to prayer. Let's go to the church's prayer tonight. Let's all go tonight. No, we tend to what? Let's go spend your money. You don't have any money, but we're going to the mall. That's another temptation. Going to the mall to say you're going to look around and you have no money. Have you ever done that? I've done that. I go to the mall. I says, I'm just going to go window shopping. And by the time I'm coming out, I've got four bags and a credit card bill. Temptation. So in the Bible narrative, when we look at the Bible narrative from the beginning, temptation has been from the beginning and it will be until the end. Do you notice that temptation is talked about in what? In Genesis chapter 2. Right? It's not like we found it somewhere in the middle of the Bible or towards the end, hidden in Revelation. No, it's right there at the beginning. Because God obviously knows that as long as we are humanities here, we are going to be what? Tempted. And we got to work at it. Right? And we can only work, we don't have to work at it by ourselves. We can only work at it with Jesus. And so we see in Genesis, right? Here we find Eve and Adam. Adam, the first man, and Eve, and the first woman in the garden. And they're walking around in this beautiful garden. Everything is perfect. They're in union with God. Everything, the marriage is going well. Things are going well. They have no children. They're happy as a lark with each other, right? We know that story in real life, don't we? And God said to them, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge and of good, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall die. Now, God always gives us a warning, doesn't God? Always gives us a warning about what not to do. Don't we know what not to do now? We were grown. Maybe the young ones don't. That's why we have prevenient grace. Grace that comes before understanding. Grace that covers a child because they don't know wrong or right. But we are under justifying grace. We know. Well, frankly, we should be under sanctification. We know what is wrong or right. And so here comes the serpent. Now, one question I'd like to ask the Lord, if he allows me when I meet him, if he allows me as I bow at his feet, why did you make the serpent? If a serpent is going to cause so much trouble. Lord, why did you make the serpent? The Bible says, now the serpent was more craftier than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. Why was the serpent made crafty to tempt us? God knows that we're weak, doesn't God? Right? And so the servant shows up to beautiful Eve who's in the garden, and he said to the woman, did God say? That's one of the words the enemy brings. Did God say? Did your mother say? Did your father say? Isn't that the word questioning what you know is true, right? You shall not eat from the tree in the garden. Did God say that? Now, Eve knew that God said it because God clearly said it. But isn't that what does the tempter do? Satan the tempter makes you begin to do what? To doubt God. Put doubt in your mind. Right? Put doubt in your mind. Did God say? And then she begins a dialogue with the devil. Now, friends, the worst thing we could do is begin a conversation with the devil. Do not start a conversation, because when the devil is working on someone in your life, or you can't win. You better get on your knees and pray for them, because they've got every answer, right? If you got a kid and that kid is struggling with drugs, and we have to pray, what are the great temptation and that's happening in our world is all of that stuff. You can sometimes cannot tell them anything. You have to pray for them, because everything you say doesn't make sense. They have an answer for it. She begins to argue with the devil. She engages him in conversation. And what does he do? He doesn't go away. He comes back. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. You will not die. If you take that stuff, you're not going to die. If you drink all that liquor, it's not going to mess up your liver. Did the doctor say that? Which doctor? Right? Do you know what I mean? It tells you. If you eat all that food and they say your pressure is going up or whatever, so what? Take another pill. Right? It's the argument. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And we know what happened. The woman took it to the man. You know, and you know, these men have said this over and over, that we caused them to sin. It's not true. Right? They've said it, that we took the apple to them and gave it to them. But they could have said no, couldn't they? Right? Alright, yes, give that up. They couldn't have said no and said, no, we're not having the apple. That's why they often, someone says, we're the stronger sex. Because they never said no to he never said no to the woman. So Adam was blaming God and he was blaming the woman. Right? The text will tell you that. And that was the beginning of the trouble for us. The beginning of original sin. That's where it started. The sin of Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman, sinning against God. And here is temptation now running wild. And the devil doesn't rest. Because you remember Job? He went to God. The devil is so, he continues and so persistent that he would even go to God about Job. Job, he wanted to get on to destroy Job's life. And he says, give me your servant, Job. That's in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, the devil is going to be busy. Every now and then you have to remind the devil, Satan, that he's unemployed. You're not employing him anymore. He's out of a job. He should leave us alone, but he keeps at it. And so what does he do? Here is Jesus. Jesus now is ready for his ministry. God is going to call Jesus to do great things. He's 30 years old. He has been baptized. He's just been baptized. God has said, this is my beloved servant in whom I'm well pleased. And yes, here he is, and he gets sent into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And who shows up? Who shows up? Satan. Waiting all this time for Jesus to come. It's got to be over 3,000 years. Waiting and waiting and waiting. And as he sees Jesus in the wilderness there for 40 days, Jesus is now hungry. He's there. He's praying to God. He's seeking God, and he's hungry. And what does Satan do? He's going to tempt Jesus, want to tempt Jesus with food. He says, if you are the Son of God, the devil says, command these stones to become bread. And what does Jesus say to him? He calls on the name of the Lord. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. It's on your bulletin. But by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You know, that's what we should be saying. We don't have to say it exactly. When temptation comes, we need to say, I don't have to live on that alone, but I could live off the word of God. And so, in other words, what he was really saying, if you're royal and divine, prove it by using your power. Prove it, right? Just show me that you're God. Take those stones and make them into bread. And Jesus refused, denied him, and the devil doesn't get rest. He comes back. And then he says he brings him up into a holy city, taking him to Jerusalem, and he showed him every highest point of the temple. And then he said he should what? jump off. Because he's saying to him, if you really believe in God, if you truly believe in this God who can save you and you trust him, jump off. He's gonna hold you. That's when folks get tempted. I said earlier in the service today that, you know, we were at our bishop convocation. One of the pastors there was in tears, and she's from upstate. Do you know, in Socrates, I forgot what the place called, upstate New York, in the Catskill area. Drugs are so rampant in the Catskill areas, in those small communities, rural communities in those areas, just like how we have it in areas of Long Island. So rampant in those areas. And she was weeping and asking, what are we doing as a Methodist church and starting programs, and what can we start up, and so on, and get bigger programs to help drug addiction and all of that in that area. We're not talking about the Bronx. Not that there should be drugs in the Bronx or in Brooklyn. We're not talking about urban context. We're talking about rural context. The people are no longer farming. They are stronger than they're taking, methamphetamine and all those stuff. Young, beautiful young people, you see them. The pastor says sometimes you come out and you walk in the neighborhood, young Caucasian men and women, just strung out in those communities that people doesn't talk about. Because of what? The temptation to do it. And her question she was posing to the church, what are we doing about it in those communities? What are we, the church, doing about it? How do we have ministries? I think we're beginning dialogue now to try to do it. She was literally crying and says, I need help in my community. Because I see my people, see young people who don't come back to church. They're strung out. You see them, they can barely stand up on a Sunday morning. What are we doing? How do we do it? Temptation. The devil doesn't stop. When he can't get you, he gets you, try to get your children. So what do we do? He wants to destroy. We destroy them, and it's up to us. And so he is persistent. And if he's going to be persistent with God, with Jesus, he's going to be persistent with us. Right? Sometimes the chains of addiction are so hard to break for these folks, because the devil stays on their back, and we have got to do something about it. And then the Bible says he came back again, and he began to test the Lord. Jesus would say to him, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And he comes back for his final temptation. The devil promises to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if only Jesus would worship him. And he does that to us. He promises us wonderful things. You've seen many ministries, great ministries in the church that is no longer exist. I told folks this morning about PTL with Jim and Tammy Baker, one of the great ministries of the church, who was growing and growing and growing. And what happened? Because of greed and money and temptation. We all know about PTL, don't we? Right? That was such a popular ministry, the first talk show kind of arm program. But because of greed and temptation, here's this deeply religious folks from the mountains of, they were from one of those Tennessee or wherever, deeply religious folks would break under temptation. This is what he was doing. None of us are exempt. I am not exempt. We could read the Bible all day, all night, and pray. If we don't see God's face, we're not exempt from the enemy. Because, you know, the devil continues to throw darts at us. But thanks be to God that Jesus overcame him. Right? Jesus overcame him, and Jesus told him right there, he says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Worship him and serve him only. And yet, the devil would not go away forever. He continues to tempt us. One writer says they're fiery darts that the devil sends our way. The first dart is, God is against you. Satan says, he's not really for you. How can you believe he is for you when you see the images that are happening in your life? You see the things that are happening in your life. When things are not going well, he starts putting doubt in your head. Oh, God is against you. Dart number two, he accuses you, right? He brings up things that you have done. The Bible tells us when we ask for forgiveness, God forgives us. And our sins are what? Forgotten. He says, as far as the east is from the west, there are our transgressions. So he separates it, but the devil doesn't. Whatever sin we have, he keeps reminding us. So we could feel guilty. We could feel guilty and says, why don't I keep doing it? It doesn't mean anything. And number three, he says, you can say you're forgiven, but there's a payback day coming. The devil tend to have us tell us, you're not really forgiven. You're not forgiven. But it's not true. Bible tells us that once we're forgiven, we're forgiven indeed. Once we're forgiven by the Lord, we're forgiven. And number four, he has a way of saying, given your track record, what hope is there for you? Why are you trying to persevere to the end? You won't get to the end. But our Bible reminds us. We are reminded today that God hears and answers every prayer. And you see, here's the hope for us. Here's the hope for us in the world. That Jesus did not give up. Jesus could not be tempted. Jesus would be in the wilderness for 40 days and was not tempted. And because of that, we have a friend. Right? We have a friend in this. Right? As the little song says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We have a friend in Jesus that when we are tempted, when things come before us that we know we ought not to do, we can call on Jesus in our own way. We can hold on because he understands temptation. This is why that's left for us in the Bible. How we could find a friend who knows Jesus to hold our hand, right? To pray with us. And guess what? When we go to him, he'll forgive us. There's nothing we can do that the Lord will not forgive us of.
Amen.
We will have to bear the consequences of what we do. There are times we break a law, we have to bear the consequence, but we can always ask for forgiveness. Thanks be to God. If I could not ask for forgiveness, would I be here before you as your pastor? No, because whatever I've done in the past would still be on my back, wouldn't it? No matter what it is, you wouldn't be good enough, would you? But with Lord, he can make us good enough, can't he? Clean us and cleanse us and forgive us. So when we step off a little bit off track, he just puts us back on and he straightens us up and we are ready for another day. Thanks be to God. And we've got to be able to tell young people that. Sometimes they make one mistake and they think this is it. We want to be around to be able to put our arms around them and says, no, 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 it's okay. God forgives you. Maybe you had to go to jail for it, but God forgives you. And he loves you, and as long as there's life, there is hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Today we are reminded that we have a forgiven Savior who will forgive us of every sin. And then we learn not to keep repeating those sins. How many times, he says, shall you forgive your brother or your sister? 70 times 70. That means over and over and over and over again. Meaning when he gave that parable, he's going to forgive us when we seek forgiveness. And the task for us is not to keep doing the same sin. That's what we are praying for. Lord, don't let me keep repeating it. And so during this time of Lent, we are reminded that as we journey to this 40 days and we see God's face, he's journeying with us because he knows how to overcome. And because he has overcome, we too will overcome. Amen.
Amen.